TalkZone.com!
Now, TalkZone presents Winning Wednesdays, featuring John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. This is the show that covers the latest sports gambling topics from a worldwide perspective and is dedicated to the hearts and minds of sports enthusiasts everywhere. Now, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner on TalkZone.com.
Greetings from Las Vegas and welcome to another edition of Winning Wednesdays. John Kelly with you. Ken Weitzner is not. He's unavailable today as Ken is making the trip from Virginia to Nevada to join us here in Las Vegas for the first 4 days of the NC2A basketball tournament. Ken will be leading a group from EOG to Las Vegas. Several community members making the trek to watch the NC2A basketball tournament's first two rounds. In place of Ken Weitzner today, we've got EOG moderator Blondie. Blondie is making her Winning Wednesday's debut, and glad to have her. Blondie, good to hear your voice this day.
Good day to you too, John.
You are an EOG moderator, Blondie. You also serve as Ken's technical consultant. You handle a lot of the website issues at EOG. How long have you had the association with Ken Weitzner, and how did that start?
I've known Ken about 3 years. I've actually worked on the forum almost two now, whenever General and Dirty left. And basically, it just started. He needed help, so he called and asked me one day if I would help him.
And your interest level in sports, Blondie, did you play sports or do you play sports? And what about gambling on sports? Obviously, with EOG, there's a lot of discussion about sports and sports betting. What's your interest level?
You know, I actually haven't kept up with it this much this year as I used to. I used to keep up with college basketball the most. But this year, we've had so many things going on with our kids playing sports that I haven't had a chance to. So as far as
Blondie
betting, I do bet some, but not much.
Blondie is a married mother of four. She's busy. She not only has four children, she has four dogs as well. She lives in the southern portion of Illinois, between Champaign and Carbondale. You have a look at both Illinois and Southern Illinois then. If you follow college basketball, you know those two schools and rich basketball traditions at both. Blondie will have a play for us today in the Illinois-Stony Brook game. Illinois is a 6.5-point favorite in that NIT contest. That'll be one of nine plays heard on today's show. We're packed with a 60 minutes full of basketball discussion. Blondie has her pick. I've got a selection. Blondie talked to Ken Weitzner this morning. Ken relayed to Blondie his top three plays for the opening round action. Our special guest today, Jim Kruger. He'll go on record with a best bet for Thursday and a best bet for Friday. Jim follows basketball closely. He loves the NBA and follows college basketball too. He uses offensive and defensive efficiency ratings to get to the right side of his point spread winners. Jim is a dedicated college basketball follower. And also we'll have Fezzik, not on the air with us, but we'll have his best side and best total for the first two rounds of the NC2A tournament. Fez has his own website at lvasports.com, and I was in a meeting with Fezzik and Jim Kruger yesterday talking college basketball, and Fez relayed his best side and best total. So have pen and paper ready. We are packed for a busy show, but more with Blondie to start the show. You've got a selection on that Illinois-Stony Brook game. What's it like, Blondie, living in the southern portion of Illinois? Were you born and raised in that area? And I understand you're going to be part of that EOG community that heads out to Las Vegas this weekend.
Yes, actually, I am headed out there. My husband and I are both headed out there tomorrow afternoon. And yes, I was born and raised in this area. I actually live in the same town I grew up in. But, however, I did spend about a year and a half or so living up in Champaign area.
Mm-hmm. And did you follow Illinois basketball closely then? They've kind of hit a rough patch here. I really don't care for the coach, Bruce Weber, but they've had some glorious times at Illinois. What's the college town like there in Champaign?
It's very much a college town. So you actually have two towns that are combined that you can't even tell where one begins and the other ends, but both of them are very, very involved in the sports there.
Illinois is a 6.5-point favorite on the road against Stony Brook. Interesting set of circumstances in that NIT game. Illinois is the top seed in the region. Stony Brook has been the eighth seed in that 32-team tournament. But what's interesting is this game is being played at Stony Brook. It's not being played in their small little gym, Pritchard Gymnasium, that seats only 1,600 people. Instead, they'll play it at Stony Brook Arena, which is downstairs from Pritchard Gymnasium, a bit larger, able to hold more people. Illinois' home arena was not available. Assembly Hall will play host to Cirque du Soleil, and that's why the Fighting Illini has to play a road game here. So interesting set of circumstances there. Also, they were going to move the game, the Illinois-Stony Brook game, to an off-campus or an on-campus site, Huff Hall, but that building was deemed to be too small, not enough parking, not enough bathrooms to host an NIT game that would really command some interest, I think, there at the Illinois campus. So instead, they're playing this at Stony Brook. And Blondie, you have an opinion on the game. Are you going to lay the points with Illinois or take the points with Stony Brook?
Oh, I'm definitely taking the points with Illinois, or laying the points.
Laying the points with Illinois, and the reasons why.
Well, honestly, Stony Brook, I mean, they're a very small college that during the regular season, they mostly played non-ranked teams. Illinois, they played and they've beaten teams such as Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, and Michigan. I mean, even though Stony Brook beat Vermont to win the first American East Conference regular season title, Illinois has played several of the top 25 teams in the nation. Illinois, their last loss to Ohio State was in Dover overtime due to several missed opportunities and, well, stupid moves, basically. However, they have experience handling better teams than Stony Brook, and they should easily cover the 6.5.
Illinois -6.5 over Stony Brook, the first of the plays heard on Winning Wednesdays. Best of luck to you, Blondie, there. And I mentioned earlier in the program, Blondie, you spoke with Ken Weissner. You have his three selections, and we'll save those for the final segment of the show. Ken has been going great guns on this program, hitting better than 60% of his plays. And you spoke with Ken, and he was at the airport there in Virginia heading out to Las Vegas.
Yeah, he called me to basically, I think, just to tell me that he was sitting a couple rows over from the ODU athletic director. And apparently they had a nice little chat for about a half hour or so while they were both waiting.
The man does have juice. Ken Weissner, well connected with Old Dominion basketball, and he's followed ODU. He'll be in his glory, I am sure, when Old Dominion takes on Notre Dame. Does he have an opinion in that game, Blondie? Has he made a selection in the Old Dominion-Notre Dame game?
Yes, Johnny has. He has ODU +2.
ODU, and that, you know, that figures, right? The Old Dominion supporter backing ODU +2. I'm hoping for his pocket, and I'm guessing for his pocket, he has maybe a little more than two. He always gets the best of the number. I wouldn't be surprised if Ken's on Old Dominion +2.5. But if he thinks +2 is still value, that's fine, too. And I'm with him on that side, too. I think Old Dominion will beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame's had a rough go of it. Well, actually, they played better without their star player, Heron Goody. They made had a rough go of it early in the season, but then late in the season, they kind of came together as a team once their star player went down. A very interesting dynamic there. But I think Old Dominion will handle Notre Dame as well on Thursday, and we'll get Ken's other plays a bit later in the program. There was one NC2A tournament game played yesterday, the 64 versus 65 game, the play-in game, or it's officially called the opening round game. Arkansas Pine Bluff defeated Winthrop 61-44. This is the 10th year they've had that opening round game. Gets the tournament going on a Tuesday night. The small dog won straight up, Pine Bluff defeating Winthrop 61-44. Now Arkansas Pine Bluff will take on Duke. I haven't seen a number yet this morning at Pinnacle on that Duke-Arkansas Pine Bluff game, but I do understand the Las Vegas sports consultants have sent out Duke a 26.5-point favorite. Also, the NIT got underway last night. 7 games on the Tuesday slate. Underdogs 6-1 against the spread, including a straight-up victory late last night by Jacksonville over Arizona State. Those listening on the East Coast may not have seen that final. The game ended after 10 o'clock here in the Pacific time zone. After 1 a.m. in the East, Jacksonville stuck most of that game. They went straight up as the 15-point dog when Ben Smith banked in a 25-footer with less than 2 seconds left to shock Arizona State. Derek Glasser, the point guard for ASU, he missed the second of 2 free throws that set up Smith's heroics. Glasser's about a 90% free throw shooter, so a shocking result there. And I'll have an NIT selection tonight. I like the NIT. In fact, Ron Boyle's couple of weeks ago, he told us that, you know, one of his best pieces of gambling advice is not to focus so much on the NC2A tournament. I mean, it's fun and all, and the interest level is high, but sometimes the NIT or the CBI or the CIT, those minor tournaments offer much better value. And I think I found a game tonight where I've got an NIT game that will cash it. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the program. Another big story, Blondie, was the Tiger Woods story. It was announced yesterday that he will play in the Masters tournament. That tournament comes up in early April, April 8th through the 11th. We'll visit with our golf expert, Alf Muschietta, Wednesday, April 7th. He'll break down the Masters for us, and he'll also talk about the different head-to-head matchups that he likes to bet. There are some who are very shrewd when it comes to the sport of golf and able to find tremendous value. I know our EOG poster, Railbird, I believe he likes golf matchups as well, but Alf is going to be on with us April 7th to talk about the Masters. Blondie, what are your impressions about Tiger Woods returning to the game, about the Tiger Woods scandal? What were your thoughts when that broke late last year? I believe it was Thanksgiving Day night when the Tiger Woods scandal hit. Your thoughts on Tiger Woods returning to the game so soon?
Honestly, it's not too shocking. I mean, you know, he came out and he made his halfway, or, you know, his half-assed apology. But other than that, you know, it's not shocking that he would think everything would be fine and he can just go back to playing.
How do you think he'll play, Blondie? And how do you think the crowd will react to Tiger? That's a two-part question. Do you think he'll play well in his return? And what about the crowd at Augusta National? Do you think they will welcome him back?
Well, I think a lot of the crowd actually could understand where he's coming from. I mean, not everybody's good little devout Christians that never have done anything wrong. So some of the crowd I think will be accepting and understand that he's human. I mean, if anything, this made him more human and less of just a perfect icon. And as far as how he plays, I don't think it'll have a whole lot of reflection onto it.
He is a master of being focused and being able to really just focus on the task, and maybe playing will be good for him long term. I don't have a big opinion. I really didn't think much of Tiger before the scandal. I don't have a strong opinion after the scandal. I'm amazed how public it all went so quickly, how private it was, and then how public it went. That shocked me, the fact that he was able to hide it so easily. And yet, once the scandal broke, then he was really in trouble trying to suppress the information. All the prostitutes and porn stars came to the front, and everyone wanted to tell their story. I guess everyone wanted to get paid. And, that was a real problem for Tiger when all that and he didn't get in front of the story either, Blondie. That was a big problem for Tiger. He never really told his story for the first couple of months there. And he's still not really talking about it, but for the first couple of months, it was everyone else telling Tiger's story instead of Tiger telling his own story.
Very true. I mean, you know, it seems like he almost wants to be in the public eye, but yet he doesn't.
He was in the public eye a lot before the scandal, that's for sure. He spoke for a lot of different companies. Many companies have separated from Tiger. There are some who are sticking with him. Nike, of course, is in his corner. They will be for a long time. They've made a lot of money together, Nike and Tiger, so I don't expect that sponsorship deal to go away. What would happen, Blondie, to your husband, Alan, if he pulled a Tiger? Would you accept him back?
Probably, yeah. So
that's
I have
forgiving.
Four kids and we've been married 10 years. I'm not about to start over.
Sure. Do you think that's Elon's thought process? I mean, obviously, they were in love at one time. I'm not sure where the relationship is now. She'd be set financially, I'm sure. I mean, there wouldn't be any financial considerations. But do you think that's Elon's mindset that, she wants Tiger back not only for herself but for the children?
You got to wonder because it's really hard on the kids whenever parents get divorced or even when they separate. So, I mean, maybe she's putting her kids first. You don't really know.
We'll step aside and take the first of our timeouts. When we return, Jim Kruger to join the conversation. We'll talk college basketball, the Thursday-Friday cards next here on Winning Wednesday.
Adam Meyer, the sports consultant of the stars, is box office money, and the heavy hitters know it. Hated for over 20 years by the sports books, and for good reason, because Adam Meyer wins. Over $10 million is waged weekly based on his advice. You, too, can reap the benefits of Adam Meyer helping turn outcomes into income. Go to AdamWins.com. That's AdamWins.com, and learn how he has made millions for his clients. Or call 800-355-5883. 800-355-5883. AdamWins.com.
Ready for true mobility? Bookmaker Mobile gives you a whole new way to wager, anytime, anywhere. Simply browsing WAP.bookmaker.com from your cell phone or PDA, you can start accessing the betting world. Placing a wager has never been this easy. Review open wagers, check out your history, or even check out your balance, all from the palm of your hand. Now, when, where, and how you bet is entirely up to you. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
Streaming 24-7, on-demand archives, podcasts, and more. TalkZone.com. TalkZone.com. Saying a lot for planet Earth. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone. Once again, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we are back. John Kelly with Blondie. Blondie sitting in for the vacationing Ken Weitzner. Ken will return next Wednesday. Our featured guest today is a friend of mine, Jim Kruger. He's based here in Las Vegas. He's a respected handicapper who focuses on football, basketball, and baseball. He can do it all. He loves basketball. I know that. He's a Kansas graduate who follows UNLV basketball closely, and I was at a meeting with Jim yesterday talking college basketball, previewing the NCAA tournament. Jim, good day. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, John. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and I've already got the party started here in Vegas with my breakfast of green beer over my bowl of Cheerios. So, luck of the Irish today.
Let's find some winners, Jim. Tell the listeners what that Tuesday meeting is all about. Because normally in the football season, it's a weekly group that meets every Tuesday talking football. But you had a special meeting held yesterday for the college basketball tournament. Explain to our listeners what that meeting is like, how many gamblers show up, who's there, and what's discussed.
That's a great question, John. There's a few professional handicappers where I would believe most everybody that's listening to this broadcast probably has heard of them. We have a number of professional sports bettors. Probably the most name recognition goes to Steve Fezzik, who is one, as probably most people know, has won the Hilton contest the last 2 years in the NFL. We have the Bulger Boys, who are longtime sports bettors. They're from New York, and they're very opinionated and very loud. It's a great group of people. We have some that specialize, like Charlie J in totals for football, and he's exceptional at that. And everybody voices their opinion and is not afraid to go against the other. So it really works out well. It's a great place for exchange of opinions. We do it early enough in the week, so we normally can catch line movements in our favor. And I've been part of it for a number of years, and I really enjoy it.
I thought your part yesterday was excellent. Jim was focusing on offensive and defensive efficiency ratings. He likes that website, kenpom.com, and we're going to ask him to give us a best bet for Thursday and a best bet for Friday as well. And I like the idea of collective wisdom. I've always heard two minds better than one, three better than two, four better than three. And I like the idea of people sharing information. You don't have to follow the information either. You can take the information and process it maybe differently than the person who offers the information. But it is a fascinating way to find out how gamblers are able to win in this city. And there are several sharp gamblers in that group. Jim, you are a Kansas graduate. You graduated there in the early 1980s, and the Kansas Jayhawks are the favorites to win this tournament. What do you think the chances are that the Jayhawks cut down the nets in Indianapolis in early April?
Well, I do believe that they do have an exceptional chance at doing that, John. Everybody, you keep hearing all the talking heads saying, oh, there aren't any great teams in the NCAA this year, and I do agree with that to a certain extent. Kansas, to me, their big key is Cole Aldridge. Their perimeter defense is suspect at times. If you look at just their conference numbers, they aren't overly impressive. Cole Aldridge makes up for an awful lot on the defensive side. Offense, they're pretty doggone efficient. I could see him getting upset, but it will take quite an effort.
You're a Kansas grad living in Las Vegas. Jim, tell our listeners your interesting connection to UNLV.
Well, my wife's a full professor at UNLV, has been here a number of years. We're fortunate that we're both sports nuts, sports fanatics. I found a great lady to enjoy my profession with. She loves betting also, and she got her master's and doctorate down at the University of Arizona, so she has a little pedigree in college hoops also. We're UNLV season ticket holders for a number of years, and it's a great program right now under Lon Kruger. Is just doing an exceptional job, and hopefully one day we'll be back in the Final Four.
What a tough draw for UNLV, Jim. They get Northern Iowa in round one, and then if they're successful against that tough team, they would likely meet Kansas in round two. And UNLV saw Kansas a few tournaments back, a few years ago. UNLV had a run into Kansas.
Yeah, we did. And it's funny because everybody, in fact, at the meeting yesterday even talked about, well, you're going to be rooting for Kansas, right? And it's, no, I root for UNLV. It's my number one team. We did go back to a Kansas game earlier this year. But 2 years ago when UNLV played Kansas, they played them fairly well for a half, and then the talent just really kind of showed. UNLV's team this year is much, much deeper and especially more athletic and larger than that team of 2 years ago. But just with a little luck, maybe we can give them a good run for their money if we get by Northern Iowa.
Our featured guest is Jim Kruger. Vegas Sports Authority is his website. He operates his sports service through that website, VegasSportsAuthority.com. Did I have it right, Jim? You're a man for all seasons, football, basketball, and baseball?
Well, John, what I stopped doing baseball a couple of years ago just from the perspective that, boy, there's never a day off and when you're betting on sports and when you also have a service. I'm not really into marketing my service. I have a core group of customers who we really get along well, but I still have a very big responsibility to perform daily for them, and I decided to start taking baseball off, and I do play it personally myself, and I have some good friends from the Tuesday group that help give me some good winning picks, but no more baseball for Jim.
We're going to talk college basketball on today's show, but we might have to recruit Jim for the NBA playoffs because, as I understand it, Jim, you've had a fantastic run the past couple of seasons when it comes to NBA totals. Why the success with NBA totals?
It's that lucky quarter I have that just keeps flipping the right side, I guess. You know, John, that I'm very anal in my handicapping, meaning I look at everything. I look at situational, fundamental. I'm very slow in the handicapping, and I put tremendous amount of hours into it. The NBA, to me, is the most situational type of conference, a type of sport that there is, and I've found some good situations where that really benefit me with totals. Plus, I just the same in college hoops. I really look strongly at the pace, the offensive and defensive efficiency, and then also matchups. So it's an awful lot of work, but it has paid off.
You have a partner at VegasSportsAuthority.com. When I visited the website, I see Paul Stone's selections are available there as well. Paul Stone has an excellent reputation in the sports betting fraternity.
Paul is, I don't think there's anybody on the face of this planet that knows college football better than Paul Stone. He's from Texas. He's been a sports editor down there for a number of years. And the man lives, breathes, and eats college football. From he can tell you what high school many of the players in Division I even went to and who recruited them. It's really amazing. Paul, and he also does love college hoops also.
We'll have to recruit Paul to a future Winning Wednesdays podcast. We have Jim Kruger now. I'm glad to have him. Let's talk college basketball. We'll talk about the 16 games scheduled for Thursday, the 16 for Friday. We have 32 games at 8 different sites played over that 2-day period. What a glorious time it is for college basketball fans, college basketball on its grandest stage. Let's get to the action. We'll start with the games of Thursday, and we'll go in Don Best rotation. Let's start with the set of 4 games in Providence, Rhode Island. Georgetown 13 over Ohio U. Tennessee right now is 3 over San Diego State. Villanova 18.5 over Robert Morris. Richmond is currently a 2-point favorite over St. Mary's. Anything strike you about that set of 4 games, Jim?
Well, living here in Vegas and being a season ticket holder at UNLV games, I'm quite familiar with San Diego State. I like Tennessee in this game. San Diego State, I think they're underseeded. They should be higher than an 11. If you look at the efficiency margin in conference games of San Diego State, it's actually equal to what New Mexico is. When I say efficiency margin, I mean basically taking the offensive efficiency, subtracting the defensive efficiency, and you get a number. San Diego State should not be an 11 seed. However, they are offensively challenged at times. They don't really shoot the ball well, and where I really like the advantage for Tennessee is that San Diego State doesn't take care of the ball very well. When UNLV plays them, they really put pressure on them. Their point guard, DJ Gay, has some trouble on turnovers, and if you get the second string guy in there, it can be a nightmare for the Aztecs. I do like Tennessee. I think they put good pressure, and I like the fact that they really came, it's the worst loss in the Bruce Pearl era while he's been at Tennessee, losing by, what, about 30 points to Kentucky in the SEC semis. So I think Tennessee, to quote Digger Phelps, is a team on a mission.
Any other game in that at that site that interests you?
I like Richmond an awful lot. And I do have to add, I'm not a Digger Phelps fan. I was trying to be a little sarcastic there. I like the Princeton offense. When you get into a tournament setting, you don't have a whole lot of time. St. Mary's, to mind, I don't believe anybody in the West Coast Conference runs a Princeton offense. Richmond is a great defensive team. They hold opponents, I believe it's below 43 overall percent on the effective field goal percentage. St. Mary's has a big guy inside, but I think Richmond's going to be able to take him.
Let's go to the set of 4 games to be played in New Orleans tomorrow. Kentucky 19.5 over East Tennessee State. Texas up to 5 over Wake Forest. Baylor is a 10.5-point favorite over Sam Houston State. And the game that Ken likes, Ken Weissner, Notre Dame is a 2-point favorite over Old Dominion. Blondie told us earlier in the show that Ken Weissner likes ODU plus the points. What about you, Jim?
Well, I like ODU also. They have a big guy inside Lee who I think can defend Heron Godey. And one of the downsides, they aren't very good from the free throw line. But in the big dance, I don't put as much stock into free throw shooting as maybe some other people do. I think they call the games a little looser and you don't get the free throw rate as you would during the regular season. Notre Dame's, they're very efficient offensively and they've slowed it down quite a bit. But if you look at, and again to quote the Talking Heads, their entire body of work, Notre Dame came on in the last, 3-4 weeks of the season. Before that, they weren't even going to make the tourney. I think they're overseeded at a 6, and I agree. I like ODU.
On to the first round games to be played in Oklahoma City. Kansas 25.5 over Lehigh. UNLV 1 over Northern Iowa. Kansas State 16 over North Texas. And BYU is up to 4.5 over Florida. Your thoughts?
Yesterday in our meeting, I went in thinking that I was open-minded, and I had a lean towards Florida. And I think I was the only one in that room that has a lean towards Florida. And the more I look at it,
BYU has lost, what, 7 first-round games. They haven't won since 1993. And mainly it's because they just aren't overly athletic. They aren't that physical, and they aren't quick. This year is different. This is probably their most athletic team that they have. Jimmer Fredette out of New York is a talent. He's fun to watch, and the guy can, boy, he can drain threes better than I think just about anybody in the country. They have a couple of other guys too, Lloyd at guard, that is very, very, and Emery at guard are athletic. The more I look at it, I think this is going to be BYU's year. Florida just defensively, they just aren't that good. They lost 4 of their last 5 games. I like BYU.
What about your alma mater, Kansas? Do you think they'll bully Lehigh in the first round?
You know, I don't. You know, Lehigh obviously doesn't have a chance to win here, but I think that they will call off the horses late in the game and get some of the other guys in that probably won't be playing much after the first round or second round. So I don't want to lay 27 with Kansas.
Your thoughts on the UNLV Northern Iowa game?
That's, I think, one of the best games on the board, to be quite honest about it. Both are coached very well, Ben Jacobson at UNI. They have all 5 guys back from last year. They have a big 7-1 guy. They have the Mo Valley Player of the Year, Adam Cook, who's 6'9 and can take it outside and shoot from the perimeter. They're number 342, I believe, in pace. They are a slow team. I mean, just really slow. So I'm looking for UNLV to try to speed it up. They're 28-4, and they really dominated in the Missouri Valley. The UNLV is more athletic than they have been in the past. It's going to be a great game. I do think that UNLV can win, but it's going to be a very close game.
55-55 with about a minute left. That's the way I see it, the side and total in the balance. You know, those kind of games. Not every game, you know, deserves a bet. And, you know, you have to be able to pass on a lot of these games because, let's face it, the market's sharp this time of year. And, you know, it's very likely to come down to a final possession in a game like that. That is a tough handicap. What about the set of games to be played in San Jose tomorrow, Jim Kruger? 4 games scheduled there. Butler 2.5 over UTEP. Vandy, only a 3-point favorite against Murray State. New Mexico is 9 against Montana. And Marquette, 1.5 over Washington. Your thoughts on those games?
Yeah, it's you brought up a good point. This year, the lines just, I mean, to see a 4 and a 13 seed with the line that is out there is just amazing. Murray State is one of the popular talking heads picks for upset, and perhaps deservedly so. They're offensively, they're just unbelievable. They can shoot the ball like no other team, actually. However, they're going against Ogilvy, big 7-footer for Vandy. That's one spot that Murray State won't have an advantage in, obviously. Murray State's extremely balanced. I like Vandy. Vandy last year last time they were in the tournament, which is 2008, they missed it last year, which is also, in my opinion, a plus for taking Vanderbilt. When they were in the tournament last, they lost to Siena. Vandy was a 4 seed, Siena was a 13 seed. So they're going to be ready for Murray State. Plus, hearing all the talk on TV, how great Murray State is, I like Vandy.
Jim Kruger, VegasSportsAuthority.com. He's our featured guest today. Jim, if I put you on the spot and ask you for your best bet on the Thursday card, what would it be?
It's going to be Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, -3 over Murray State, the best of the group for Thursday. We'll ask Jim the same question about the Friday card. Let's run through those 16 games quickly. They're scheduled for Friday. What a glorious time it is. How do you take in the action, Jim? Do you visit one of the local sports books? Do you stay at home? And how do you bet? Do you bet here in town? Do you bet offshore? Do you do a little bit of both?
Yeah, I really do both. I always stay at home just because both my wife and I can be quite vocal watching a game, especially if we have money on the line. And if you want to take advantage of halftime lines, you want to watch movement of lines, it's difficult at a sports book in Vegas. You're going to get a better sense of what the market is prevailing out there if you are at home. You know, we have a bunch of, two TVs in my office and TVs in every room, basically. So we'll be watching it at home.
On to the Friday schedule, the first round games being played in Buffalo. Syracuse, 17.5 over Vermont. Florida State is now a 1.5-point favorite over Gonzaga. West Virginia, 17.5 over Morgan State. And Clemson is 1.5 at Pinnacle right now against Missouri.
Boy, the committee wasn't overly polite to Gonzaga sending them up to Buffalo, but I guess why should they? They lost to St. Mary's in the West Coast tournament, so... Gonzaga, a team that travels well. I don't know how well they're going to have their fans up in Buffalo. I like Florida State here. I think that the downside is Florida is not very good offensively, but defensively they're perhaps one of the best, or perhaps the best squad in the tournament here. They have good size inside. The other downside, and I guess I should temper my thoughts on Florida State. I'm sitting here kind of ramming them, but guard play at Florida State's been, it's not even been average, it's below average. But the good side on that, if you're a Seminole fan, Gonzaga doesn't pressure you at all. So I do like Florida State at this small line over Gonzaga.
On to the four games to be played in Jacksonville. Temple is 3.5 over Cornell. Wisconsin, 10 over Wofford. Duke, the Las Vegas sports consultants are going to send out 26.5-point favorites over Arkansas Pine Bluff. And the California-Louisville game, this one's fascinating. This game is a pick 'em. Any thoughts on that Cal-Louisville game, Jim?
Yeah. Everybody is, really dissing the Pac-10. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes I was listening to John Thompson on the radio the other day, and they're going through the brackets, and he would ask a question about certain teams like BYU, and John said, "Well, I haven't seen BYU play. Well, what about Cal? Well, I rarely ever see them on TV. It's maybe living out west. I'm a little biased myself. It just seems like the West Coast teams, Pacific Time Zone teams, don't always get a whole lot of recognition, maybe as much as they should. I like Cal over Louisville. Cal's the third best team in the country in offensive efficiency. They shoot the three really well, 37% plus, and they also defend the three very well at 32%. And they're going against a team, the Cardinals, that relies heavily on the three-pointer. 40% of all of Louisville shots are three-point attempts, and they're led by Samuels inside, big 6'9" guy who's very athletic. He's also prone to foul trouble. Cal, at the beginning of the year, they were missing one of their seniors, Theo Robertson, the 6'6" forward. He's been back for quite a while, actually, but the three of the Cal losses were without Robertson, if I remember correctly. I think the Bears' outside shooting is going to prevail. I like Cal in that game.
Let's talk about the four games to be played in Milwaukee Friday. Ohio State, 17 over Cal Santa Barbara. Oklahoma State is 1.5 over Georgia Tech. Pittsburgh, 10 over Oakland. And Minnesota is a 1-point favorite now over Xavier.
Well, I'm a couple of games here that I do like. I'm really starting to lean more towards Georgia Tech, and part of that is maybe I watched a little too much of them in the tournament and saw just how good Favors is inside. And Oklahoma State is one of the smallest teams in the tournament. However, they have James Anderson, who's one of the best players in the tournament. So I haven't really finalized my decision on that. I like Xavier over the Gophers. Minnesota is a pressing style of defense that they play. They're up tempo, but I don't think that's going to bother Xavier. Xavier has Jordan Crawford, a former Indiana transfer. They got a good guy inside, Jason Love. I think that Xavier is going to prevail. People talk about, well, they have a new coach, and we always go against first-year coaches. Well, their coach last year was, in the Sweet 16, and the year before, he was assistant coach under Sean Miller there at Xavier. And then the year before that, they went to the Elite Eight. You know, so I think Coach Mack has plenty of experience coaching in the Big Dance. So I like Xavier.
One more site to cover. It's in Spokane, Washington. Four games to be played there Friday. Michigan State, 13.5 over New Mexico State. Maryland, 9 over Houston. Texas A&M is currently a 3-point favorite over Utah State. And Purdue is 4 over Siena. No Robbie Hummel for Purdue. That makes this game an interesting handicap.
Yeah, it really does. I wish Siena didn't have to fly all the way to Spokane, Washington, but I like Siena. There's some – the Utah State-Texas A&M game is also fascinating, but I think Siena is going to be your best shot out of these four games. It took me a while to warm up a little more to Siena. I did watch him play this year a couple of times on TV. I think they're able to drive. They aren't relying heavily on the three. They're good rebounders. They're athletic. They have basically the last 2 years they've upset teams in the Big Dance, and pretty much the same core of players from those two squads is back again this year. I like Siena over Purdue.
You mentioned the Texas A&M Utah State game, Jim. What makes that game fascinating to you?
Well, similar to Northern Iowa, Utah State is just like super methodical, very precision on offense. They have one of the best coaches that most people probably haven't heard of, unless you're a real hoops fanatic, Stu Morrill. They're not exactly a fun team to watch. Unless you really enjoy X's and O's and watching that type of offense. It's a tough game. I like A&M. I think A&M is a little overrated, perhaps. They get a lot of their points from the foul line, kind of as something, as I mentioned earlier, that if you look at teams during the season that get a tremendous amount of their points, say 25% or more, from the free throw line, if it's being a loosely called game, that means that A&M's not going to be getting that many calls. So I haven't made a decision on it yet. I don't want to go against Utah State. These are actually two teams I'd like to bet on, and Mark Turgeon at A&M is also a very good coach in my mind. So it'll be a fun game.
Blondie has a question or two for you, Jim, and we'll get to that in just one moment, but first, let me put you on the spot for the Friday action. What's your best bet, single best bet on Friday?
Well, originally I was thinking Cal. And unfortunately, the Cal defense doesn't quite live up to what my expectations are for a sure type of bet. Well, there is no sure bet. Stupid statement, Jim. I like Siena. I think that's going to be the best play of the day.
So it's Vandy -3 over Murray State, Jim Kruger's best bet on Thursday, and Siena +4 over Purdue, Jim's best bet on Friday. Blondie, any questions for Jim Kruger?
Actually, yeah, I have a couple. A couple of EOG posters have posted some questions that they have.
Okay.
Poster Shootbox has asked, what are the key stats that you personally look for while handicapping NBA totals?
Well, I did mention a few. It's really you want to look at the pace, and you also want to look at the offensive efficiency versus the defensive efficiency. You get a team like in Indiana, the Pacers. They run like crazy. However, offensively, their points per possession is not very good.
So if you're going to take an over for Indiana, you're going to want to look at them playing against a team that is not a good defensively efficient team. Ignore stuff such as, Portland's a great example. Don't worry about, Portland only scores 92 points a game, or they're very slow, but they're extremely efficient offensively. You need to look more at tempo-free stats than so-and-so out-rebounds the opposition by 4.2 rebounds a game. You need to look at percentages. So that's probably the most important to me.
Okay, he also has another question. What mistakes do you think the general public commonly makes while wagering on the NBA?
They won't take a bad team, a dog. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes. And it's one of the complaints that I get sometimes from my clients is, why are you taking Golden State? Or you took Golden State last time. Sometimes there's a good reason for dogs to cover. And they look just at that moment. They don't look at the game that they, not the results, but when they played, who they played the prior game, and who they're playing in their next couple of games. They're just looking at who are the Celtics playing today, and that's all they care about. And they just have this perception in their mind, the Celtics are a great defensive team. Well, you need to also, teams flow throughout the year. Boston started out the season good defensively. They aren't that good now.
Blondie, any more questions for Jim?
I think he covered some of them already, so.
Very well.
I'm not seeing.
Jim, I want to thank you for your contributions. One last question from me, and Blondie and I, we were talking about this earlier in the program. The big news yesterday, Tiger Woods is going to return to golf at the Masters in Augusta. How do you think the crowd will react, Jim, to Tiger's return at the Masters?
Well, the people who are going to go to that Masters tournament are going to be fans. So the actual people in the crowd, I think, are going to respond very well in favor of Tiger. Anybody who does otherwise, I think, will be pressured into leaving pretty rapidly. There might be some groups outside, on the street, et cetera, that are protesting, but I think actually at the tournament, it's going to be a lot of applause.
VegasSportsAuthority.com, that is Jim Kruger's website. Check it out today. Ask him about his packages there in basketball, whether it's college basketball or, as he said, the pro basketball. His NBA totals have been outstanding the past few years. Jim, thanks for the contributions. We'll chat with you down the road.
It was a pleasure. I sure enjoyed it, John.
Jim Kruger on the program. We'll step aside and take the final time out of the show. When we return, we'll get Ken Weitzner's top three plays for first-round action in the NCAA tournament. He's already given us one. He liked Old Dominion +2 over Notre Dame. Some would say that's a predictable selection for Ken, the ODU supporter. But he has two more. Plus, I've got two selections from Fezzik. I've got his best side of the first round, also his favorite total of first-round action. And I'll go on record with an NIT selection. More on the other side of the break. You're listening to Winning Wednesdays.
Old school meets new school. You want a bookmaker you can trust, one that's established, secure, and offers more per play. You want bookmaker.com. At bookmaker.com, you can win big and play safe 24/7, 365. From international sports to all styles of racing to casino games and poker tournaments, play with confidence at bookmaker.com. Sign up today and get a 20% bonus and earn free plays with our exclusive loyalty program. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
There's no question who the biggest star is when it comes to sports handicapping. It's Adam Meyer from AdamWins.com, the sports consultant to the stars. Go inside the numbers each week with AdamWins.com. Adam will supply you with all the information you need to make money this weekend. Call Adam at 800-355-5883 or go to AdamWins.com. That's 800-355-5883 or go to AdamWins.com.
This is the future.
TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone. Once again, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we're back. John Kelly and Blondie, the EOG moderator. Blondie is our substitute host today, replacing Ken Weitzner, who's in the air right now, in transit from Virginia to Nevada. The Shrink will return to join us next Wednesday. We've been trying to recruit Chris Dortch to the program. He's the publisher of the Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. What a fascinating publication that is. We hope next Wednesday Chris Dortch will join us for the hour-long program. That should be a lot of fun. Also, in future weeks, we'll visit with Dave Koken. Dave has promised to appear on the program. He's a baseball nut. Dave Koken knows baseball, and maybe we'll preview the baseball season here, the future Wednesday program. And Alf Mosqueda, signed, sealed, and delivered. Alf will be with us, as reported earlier, on April 7th. Alf to join us to preview the Masters Tournament. Let's get to the selections on the program. I mentioned that Tuesday meeting. Fez is kind of the spiritual leader of that group. He ducked into the Tuesday meeting and gave us two bets, one for Thursday, one for Friday. These are his two favorite games, he said. He likes Richmond minus the short number against St. Mary's. If you can lay anything under 2 points with Richmond, Fez sees that as value. Right now, Pinnacle is dealing Richmond as a two-point favorite over St. Mary's. Fez likes Richmond's style. That coach, Chris Mooney, former Air Force coach, he's excellent. It's a quick team, too. Richmond plays sticky defense. And St. Mary's, what a tough spot for St. Mary's. They have to travel from Moraga, California, to Providence, Rhode Island. That's more than 3,000 miles. That's more than any of the 65 teams is forced to travel in this tournament. So St. Mary's with a tough spot there in the first round against Richmond. So that's Fez's favorite side. His favorite total in the first round comes on Friday, and Fez made a case for Purdue and Siena to go under the total of 130. Something tells me Fez has a ticket in his pocket for an under total, slightly higher than 130, but he thinks 130, there's still value there. He'll go under that total. Talks about Robbie Hummel and his absence for Purdue, how it affects not only Purdue on the side, but also affects Purdue's offense, really slows down that offense. They don't have really a go-to player without Robbie Hummel. He bailed him out so many times late in the shot clock, and without Hummel, that offense is just not the same. Fez was saying that Robbie Hummel's a six-point player. He's that valuable to that Purdue Boilermaker team, but instead of getting involved in the side in that game, he said the better bet there is the total go under in the Purdue-Siena game. As for my selection, I like a total as well. It's an NIT total. It involves the game tonight between Wichita State and Nevada. Money's pouring in for the home team, Wichita State. They're up to 8.5 now at Pinnacle. The total is 143, and I'm going to go over the total of 143. Nevada likes to play at a fast pace. They've averaged nearly 80 points per game, and I've noticed late in the season, they've really picked up the pace. In the WAC tournament, they played fast. In fact, they scored 100 points in a game against New Mexico State late in the year, late in the regular season. So I look for Nevada to run up and down against Wichita State. Wichita State comes out of Missouri Valley Conference. That's a slow conference, but I think they'll play fast today against Nevada. So I'm going to go over the total of 143. Luke Babbitt, the star player for Nevada, he'll figure out that Wichita State defense. They won't stop him. He can get his shot off at any time, and so too can Armon Johnson. But I just don't trust Nevada on the road. They've been underachieving all year. I thought about the dog, but then in the end I said, no, let's go over the total of 143. That'll be my play in the NIT tonight. 18-8-1 through 27 selections on the program, going great guns, and so too is Ken Weitzner. How about 47-32-2 through 81 plays on the show for Ken? He's hitting it better than 60%. And Blondie, you spoke with Ken earlier today. He relayed to you his three selections. You've already given us one, Old Dominion plus 2 over Notre Dame. What are the other two?
He also has Purdue minus 4 versus Siena. And he also has Utah State plus 3 versus Texas A&M.
So Purdue minus 4 and Utah State plus 3. Add that in with the Old Dominion plus 2, and you've got three selections from the Shrink. What a time it will be as he leads out a group. Many community members from EOG going to be in Las Vegas this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Check the posting form there for more details on the schedule. I know a lot is happening over the next 4 days, or 5 days, involving EOG members. And Blondie, you told us earlier in the program that you're headed to Las Vegas tomorrow. How does one in the southern part of Illinois get to Las Vegas? What's the closest airport to you?
I usually take St. Louis. You can either take St. Louis or Indianapolis, but for personally, I know St. Louis Airport a little better. So
they have gambling in that city too, don't they, Blondie? I've been to St. Louis in the past, and there are casinos in the downtown area.
Yeah, I know one of the most popular is usually the Casino Queen. That's the little river boat that they have right on the Mississippi River.
And are you a gambler by nature, Blondie? You said that every now and then you'll dabble in sports. When you come to Las Vegas, will you take part in the table games and the slot machines?
Not really. I let my husband do most of that.
Right. Your husband will be on this trip with you. You've come before without an escort. It's always fun when the EOG community gets together and talks, and we can put a face to the name. How about some of your favorite EOG posters?
Favorite ones that I've met or favorite ones in general?
Either or.
Oh, let's see. The ones that are most fun actually to hang out with are probably Tony Montana and the Glue. There is never a dull moment when those two are around. As far as in general, I'd say probably Integrity and actually some of the ones that really don't make a lot of noise, such as Almost All Right and King Revolver is actually a fun one, even though he does make noise.
I enjoy King Revolver's contributions to the website. I believe you also like what Munson brings to the table.
Yes, I very seldom do you ever hear Munson say a bad word about anybody.
How about on the other side of the coin, Blondie, up any posters whose contributions you don't like?
You know, every poster brings something to the table. And just because you don't like their persona that day doesn't mean the next day that you might not find something that you do like about them.
Blondie, job well done. Thanks for the contribution. Safe travels to Las Vegas, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, John.
For Blondie, for our special guest, Jim Kruger, for EOG founder Ken Weitzner, who will be in Las Vegas this weekend and who will be back on the program next Wednesday, I'm John Kelly. Thanks for listening to Winning Wednesdays.